Hi and welcome to the Mount Hamilton Baptist Church podcast. We hope you enjoy listening to this message. For more information, go to mhbc.ca.
How many of you would start your day with the Lord's Prayer? So many of us started our day that way. So this is a very famous prayer. We have already said it with our children today, and it's found in Scripture. And it was Jesus' way of saying, this is what prayer can look like. I don't believe it was necessarily, you have to pray this prayer word for word every time you pray. But he was responding to questions and situations around prayer. And the idea of what prayer could be, that you could talk directly to God, and you could say lots of things that make so much sense. Like, God, give us our daily bread, right? Meet our needs. And you could say, God, forgive us. But I have to confess that as much as I've said the Lord's Prayer, because I said it in school too, and I said it at home, and I grew up in church and Sunday school, the line that always sort of gave me a little bit of wondering was this one, thy kingdom come. I mean, I would say it like really quickly, our Father in heaven, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, right? And I would do this like many of you, I'm sure, when you're trying to get through it quickly. But I don't think I always thought about what it meant. Maybe you've also wondered what that means too. And in fact, it's what we're going to talk about for the next few weeks. And we're going to talk about what Jesus had to say about God's kingdom. And even as I start that, even as we pray, thy kingdom come, your initial question, of course, may be, well, what do we even mean by the word kingdom? Right? Now, Leslie did a beautiful job about the Lord's Prayer, about the Lord's Prayer in the fall, I believe she preached that. So that's a great sermon on the Lord's Prayer. I'm not actually going to preach about the Lord's Prayer. I'm preaching about that line today and what it means. But this idea of the kingdom, and she talked about how, you know, we hear kingdom, we think of things like the magic kingdom or maybe like wild animal kingdom. I have to tell you, when I hear the word kingdom, I think of fairy tales, first of all. Anyone else? Like, I think of the idea of, like, you know, the good king who looked after people in all the fairy tales, or the evil queens, right? I always seemed like the queen was evil and the king was good in many of those stories. And I admit I also think of many negative things when I hear the word kingdom. I don't know about you, but I find myself thinking to eras in history where the word kingdom very much referred to this idea of this dictatorial king or queen, right, who had all power. And I know some of you might watch a little famous show I've never seen called Game of Thrones, but that comes like that idea, right? The kingdom and people fighting for kingdoms, people fighting for power and authority. And it's often a very ugly thing. And in fact, I think of kingdoms even just in the last couple of centuries, and when nations would even go into other countries, go into other parts of the world, and say, now you will look like our nation. We make you our nation. We now call that colonialism. And I'm actually very uncomfortable with it. And so sometimes this word kingdom can kind of seem negative in today's day and age, right? We don't talk about a kingdom going for more land and going for more power. But what did it mean at the time? Well, at the time when Jesus was talking about kingdom, and he actually talked about the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven, those were interchangeable expressions, 50 times in the book of Matthew, which we've been looking at. That's a lot. And when he talked about the kingdom of God, he was using a word that would have been really familiar to people at the time. And I think they would have thought of kingdom very much like that way I described it, right? All around them, there were kings, there were powers, there were empires. Their history was full of it. And when they were talking about king, when Jesus talked about kingdom, that's what they would have understood by kingdom. One person in charge, ruling a nation. But they would have thought about what kingdom meant to them. Because at this time in the story, Jesus is preaching to the people of God. And they had also had a kingdom. They were the kingdom, we could say, the nation of Israel. And they had had an era where they had had kings, some good, some not so good. And they were very much longing. By the time Jesus came, Rome was actually the superpower. It was their kingdom or their empire that was in charge. They wanted their kingdom back. They wanted to be in charge of their own people again. They wanted to have that same power. And God's word had told them that God's kingdom was going to return. Listen even just to this passage from the book of Daniel. And this would have been in their scriptures long before Jesus came. And it says, And in the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed, nor shall the kingdom be left to another people. It shall break in pieces all these kingdoms and bring them to an end, and it shall stand forever. The book of Daniel was written when their kingdom had just fallen apart. They'd been taken into exile. And now, here's this promise, right? God's kingdom's going to come one day, and it's going to rule everything. But the thing is, when Jesus came, and he started talking about his kingdom, and we're looking at this word kingdom, he talked about kingdom in a really different way. Because they very much would have said, well, a kingdom will mean that we're going to get our land back. We're going to be in charge of this place. We're going to be in charge of our people. And Jesus had a few things to say about the kingdom that actually challenged that a lot. There's four ideas. You're going to see them up on your screen that were quite different than probably they anticipated God's kingdom, like that prophesied in the book of Daniel, would look. First of all, Jesus didn't talk about his kingdom having anything to do with geography. It wasn't about place. It wasn't about land in the same way. He also talked about the kingdom of God being connected to him. Like in the book of Mark, he says, the kingdom of God is here. Repent and believe. And he meant, I'm here, right? That his coming was connected to this kingdom. He also talked about the kingdom of God as being for everyone. Because remember, they wanted their kingdom back, the nation of Israel. And now he's talking about this kingdom is going a lot farther than that. And his kingdom invited a response. It wasn't just something like, one day the kingdom's going to come and you will receive the kingdom. He invited people into kingdom participation. In short, then, when we look at how Jesus described the kingdom of God, what he was actually talking about and what we talk about when we say the kingdom of God and we say that kingdom come is a world that looks as God wants it to look. It's a world with love, justice, mercy, hope, the things of God. And the interesting thing about the kingdom of God is that we bring it in how we live, that it came in Jesus. And when Jesus said, it's here already. And when you live in the ways I taught you, you are living into my kingdom. But also, we wait for it. Jesus said, one day I'm going to come back and the kingdom will be complete. It's a little bit interesting. It's something that's already here and it's something we're waiting for. When we live like Jesus, we bring the kingdom of God here. One day it will be complete when Jesus returns. So that means when we say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we're not just praying for this kind of mythical thing to happen. We're actually saying, God, make the world look like you want it to look, which invites us to join in that. And we're saying, you know, God, come back, make your kingdom complete. And so when we talk about praying and saying, God, thy kingdom come, which, remember, we are part of, what does that mean then? What does it mean if we are going to be people that are part of bringing this kingdom, that we're saying we want to live into this? Well, that's exactly what this series is going to be about. Because as I said, Jesus talked about this 50 times. In the book of Matthew, we have references one way or the other. But he often will tell stories that started with this expression, the kingdom of God is like. Maybe some of you can think of reading those. And Neil read that for us this morning. We're going to look at each of these stories over the next number of weeks. And today we start with this one. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed and yeast. So let's talk about why. So here's mustard seed. I actually brought some mustard seed as well today. Yeast. So I wondered this is what mustard seed looks like. You see it? Yeah. You can look at it later. I'm going to lay it here on the table. So he says, the kingdom of God is like, the kingdom of heaven here, is like a mustard seed which his man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree so that the birds come and perch in its branches. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. Now, what's interesting here, a couple interesting points, is even if you look at this and you look here, mustard seeds aren't literally the smallest seeds. Like, can you see that when you look? There are smaller seeds than mustard seeds. So we might think, did Jesus not know? Like that? No, what's happening here is that was actually an expression. We have expressions like this as well in rabbinical literature. Mustard seeds were used for something small, right? We have things that we say as small as this or as big as this. It's not necessarily that it's the smallest. He wants them to understand, he's using this image of something very, very tiny, something proverbial for small. But there's also more that he wants to say about it, and that is that it grows into something big. And once again, the mustard tree is not literally the biggest tree. Like, we've seen sequoias, right? Like, it's not actually the biggest thing. But he's making this image of this turning into something so much bigger. And trees were a very common image for kingdoms. Again, in the Bible, in the book of Ezekiel, Assyria is talked about like a tree, which was a really big kingdom at the time. In the book of Daniel, the one I read for Babylon, which had been a mighty kingdom, that was described as a tree. And so he's like, this is a really good kingdom. But the neat thing is also it's a kingdom that's branches where all the birds can come and rest in its branches. And so there's this image here of everyone coming into this kingdom. It's quite beautiful. And then it goes on to say another point, and he told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough. This is yeast. Have any of you ever actually baked with yeast? I realized a while ago that someone was like, I've never actually seen yeast. And you can come look at this stuff later. And we're going to be adding to our table all our images of the kingdom over the next few weeks. So here the yeast, it actually says that she bakes into 60 pounds of flour. That's a lot of flour. So once again, Jesus is using this hyperbole, right? This big statement. This would be enough to feed like 100 people a meal of bread. It's hard to imagine that at this time there were a lot of women that found it necessary to bake that much bread at once. He's using this extreme image, again, of something very small. And you can see this image of how tiny yeast is up on the screen, turning into something much bigger. And in both cases, this mustard seed, this yeast, he's making a point. And that is that the kingdom of God begins with what seems small, maybe even insignificant, and becomes something much larger. And of course, Jesus is talking about himself in some ways here. Because when he came, he would have seemed to many insignificant, like not a very big deal. Who is this guy wandering around? He doesn't have any power, any influence. He's just wandering around with his 12 disciples. But Jesus, that kingdom he's planting, is going to turn into something that 2,000 years later, here we are on the other side of the world. It's going to start small, but he says, you don't even realize what's happening when you're looking at me. Because the kingdom of heaven is like mustard seed, like yeast. It may not look impressive, but wait till you see what's going to come. But I think he's also speaking, again, into the future of what the kingdom of God will look like and continues to look like as we are followers of Jesus. That the kingdom does start in what seem like small ways, and that the small things can make a huge and significant difference. In fact, there's three things I want to say about this parable and that point here. And the first kind of elaborates on the first, and that is that the kingdom of God then does not always start in big, impressive ways. And that's a good one for me to remember because I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel very defeated when I look at the world and things that need to happen, right? I see an issue, I see a situation, and it feels so overwhelming. It feels like there's nothing I can do. So, like, why even bother trying? Have you ever felt that way? I look at things that just seem so massive, and I just think, what could I ever do to make a difference? Maybe you have felt the same way. Some of you have said you have. But yet, Jesus doesn't talk about the kingdom starting with those huge, impressive things. He talks about a kingdom that starts like mustard seed and like yeast and spreads. And so I was thinking this week of some examples of the kingdom. And I thought of this woman, and I saw her story online this week, and maybe some of you saw it. Her name is Tinny Davidson, and she lives in Victoria, BC. And there was a story about her on the CBC. For the last 12 years, she has waved at people from her window. Now, let me explain this. Have any of you seen this story? So this woman sits in her window. She moved 12 years ago to a neighborhood right by a high school. And she decided each morning to sit in the window and wave at all the students as they walked by. The story got news press because when the students found out she was moving to a home, they all gathered on her lawn to say goodbye. There were hundreds of them. And they said, thank you for waving at us every day. Do you think maybe the kingdom of God is like sitting in your window and waving? I think it could be. And then I found myself thinking about my mom. And so, this comes up often, but I grew up in a small place in Newfoundland. This is a picture of where I live. For real, my house is like kind of just off to the side there. So that is an exceptionally picturesque picture of my town, in all fairness. But so my mother every day walks along that shore. The post office is just way on the other side. Because We've never had our own mailboxes. We are box number 4 in our town. So my grandmother was number 1. Small place. So she walks every day to the post office, every day of her life, ever since I can remember, her and her friend walk along the shore to the post office and walk back. And ever since I can remember, my mother carries a plastic bag, and she picks up garbage on the way there and back. Used to mortify me when I was a teenager, but now I think about it, and I think about this world that now, my mom always says, all the stuff I did all this time is just getting popular now, and maybe some of you feel this way, right? Like, when she would try to save things and reuse them and, like, save money by, like, not, like, reusing butter containers and things like this, and now we call it, like, reusing. She's like, that's just always what I did, and I'm like, she's right, because for years, when we were saying we need to care about the environment, my mom was walking in this small town in Newfoundland and picking up garbage on the side of the road. Do you think the kingdom of God could look like picking up one pop can? I think maybe it could. I mean, the kingdom of God comes in so many ways, with things that seem insignificant, with buying a coffee for the person behind you in line, with giving your seat up on the bus, bringing a meal to a neighbor, responding in love. Do you know, 2 days in a row this week, I saw two people getting screaming, swearing matches over parking spots. Twice in a row. 2 days in a row. The kingdom of God maybe looks like walking away sometimes. And I think the kingdom of God is breaking through when people are forgiving and we seek reconciliation and when we choose love. And the kingdom of God is not like a bulldozer. Or to use maybe something that would have been relevant at the time, Jesus didn't say, it's like a chariot bustling through with a big king, not like a lion. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is like yeast and seeds. It starts with small things and turns into something more. And I think what this also reminds us then is that the kingdom of God does not come through violence or through voting. Now, the first one, the violence, is not as much prevalent in our modern culture, but there were eras and eras where Christians, people who claimed to love God, truly believed that violence was the way to bring God's kingdom. And if we were to look at, for example, the Crusades, which I talked about a couple weeks ago, an era where people said, that part of the world is not Christian, let's form an army and let's go and we'll attack them to make that part of the world Christian. The kingdom of God is like mustard seed. But then we do things in different ways, right? Many of us still have this hope. Well, the kingdom of God is like voting, right? And if we can just get the right candidate in there to make them do all the stuff we want them to do that we think they should be doing, that'll be the kingdom of God. But the kingdom of God is like mustard seed and yeast. It doesn't start from the top down. It starts from Jesus living in us and from the bottom up as it spreads. And that... the other thing that it also reminds me with this image of yeast and mustard seed is that sometimes the kingdom of God involves waiting. The kingdom of God is something that moves and sometimes takes a lot of time. One more shout out to my mom here. She's really getting a lot of references here today. Again, my mother grew up, she always made our own bread. Mom made... I was very lucky. It's delicious. My mom made bread every Saturday of her life. So she would wake up Saturday morning in the kitchen. She had this big plastic white tub that she would, and I'd come out Saturday mornings and she'd be kneading the bread. She always wore a pair of underwear on her head because she'd lost the hairnet that she used to use at some point. And so this was my image every morning. And so I chose not to show you a picture of this image. And I'd come out, my mom would be kneading the flour, the dough into the flour, the yeast into the flour. And then she'd wrap it in this big old blanket, and then she'd put it in our window where it got light. And then we'd wait, right? And all Saturday morning, that dough would sit there while it rose, while the yeast worked its way through the flour. The bread was never ready until supper time. You had to wait. And if you tried to have it sooner, you know what you had? You had, like, flat, really, really hard bread, right? The kingdom of heaven is like yeast. And sometimes it takes waiting. We patiently need it in. It's true that sometimes we can feel very impatient as we wait for the yeast to make a difference. But we are playing the long game. I know some of you play that game every week, every day. So many of you have jobs, your social workers, your teachers, or your volunteers in different ministries. And so often you must find yourself saying, am I making any difference? You go into work day after day does it matter? I'm having the same conversation with a client. I'm doing the same thing. It can feel so tedious. And then we have to remember that the kingdom of God is like yeast. And every single one of you that are out kneading that in every day, every conversation, every act of love, every choice to choose reconciliation, every effort to give a little bit of God's love to someone else is kneading in and kneading in, and it is growing. And so that's why we pray, Thy kingdom come, and how we live into this prayer. This reminds us that the kingdom of God, we can live into this prayer by doing little things sometimes. And then we wait. We do them and we wait. And I know so often you're going to look around, you're going to feel like, what can I possibly do to bring the kingdom? And you're going to think, I've worked so hard and so long and I don't see any difference. But we will look around, we'll see a world that needs God's love, justice, hope, and mercy. And we will build it like planting mustard seeds. One little act of following God at a time. And we will trust that in all those things that may seem of insignificant, that God is working. And someday we may see the difference it's made. Let's watch this video. Oh, hit the lights, Brad, sure.
Like the look of the children, and they all looked in, and I thought, well, if they're looking in, I'll wave to them. And that's how it started. I was shocked again that there's so many kids that want to say goodbye to me.
I can't even handle that video. It's so sweet. The kingdom of God is like a woman waving in her window. Let's pray. And so, God, you will call us to even things that may not seem that important. Help us say yes. And to remember that you are working and that you've not asked us to do big, huge things, but to say yes little way after little way. And that like yeast, it spreads as the kingdom is growing. Amen.